I'm Stephanie Overbuck.
I'm Mel Wymore.
And this is Pot of Gold. Most likely, we've all benefited from advancement in modern medicine. But in pursuing scientific remedies, have we lost connection with something else?
In this episode, we're speaking with Olatokunbo Obasi, an herbal healer and teacher currently based in Puerto Rico. Through Olatokunbo's herbal practice, we learn not only about the healing power of plants, but about the indigenous wisdom she draws on that can help us find balance within ourselves and with nature.
Take a listen.
Hi, I am Olatokunbo Obasi. And I am a mother, I am a daughter, I am a medical herbalist. I work in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. I've been living on the island for about 5 years, and I'm originally from Africa, Kenya and Nigeria. And I moved to Puerto Rico as a result of my godmother, who is from the island. And she's a spiritual woman, and she and I are very connected, and I decided to live beside her and learn lots of wonderful, magical things with her, including plant medicine and healing arts. And so I'm here helping and myself, growing within myself and helping the community with healing and with teaching. I have a school. My school is called Well of Indigenous Wisdom School. And I teach herbal medicine and healing arts there as well. And for me, Indigenous wisdom is very, very important because we all come from Indigenous roots. And within those Indigenous roots, we have concepts of lifestyle and ways of being that help us to navigate life in a harmonious way with each other's humans in our diversities, as well as with the ecosystem, with animals, with plants, with the waters, with air. And so the Well of Indigenous Wisdom School is teaching us how to reconnect with our Indigenous self, with those concepts, those laws, those wisdoms that our ancestors had.
This was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, but so well spoken. And the way in which you speak so harmoniously, even in your words, about living a life that's connected to nature and to other people, which in the end, I think that's what we all want, right? We all
absolutely
want that.
Absolutely.
Could you describe in a little more detail the types of herbal medicine that you practice and how it's different from the way most people practice medicine?
I've been practicing herbal medicine as a clinician. I'm technically a medical herbalist or clinical herbalist. So as a clinician for over 10 years, 15 years or so. I grew up in Kenya, and my grandmother used a lot of herbal medicine. She was into midwifery. I also have a relative who was a herbalist in the community. And when I was about 9 years old, I started to learn and understand plants through him. I'd watch him, for instance, chopping eucalyptus and using it for steaming, for malaria, to heal people, and so many other herbs. So I was really fascinated as a child. And I was a child that actually didn't stay in the house. So from 7 to 6, I was somewhere on top of a tree or by the lake or playing with my friends and doing naughty things like chasing baboons with what we called catapults, but I think you call them slingshots in the US. So coming forward, when I was about 17, my first teacher, Oluwaya, who's the same person I just spoke about, the elder man, he started to take me on herb walks around our village in Kenya and started to teach me about plants. And the very first lessons he taught me were the poisonous plants and the antidotes. And he said, in life, there's always a plant that can heal a situation, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, that they're all embodied in one, just like we all have spiritual experiences, emotional experiences, and we're in bodies in the planet. So through that, I started to understand the wisdoms that come behind plant medicine. At this moment, I've had a herbal business for about 10 years. I've had two herb shops. This is my second herb shop. My first was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I just opened the doors to community and have people come through. I work clinically. People would usually come to me with, you know, modern day diseases such as diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, fertility issues. And I'd work with people through those conditions and then start to teach them as they get comfortable that those conditions have a root seated in the emotional and spiritual body. So as far as people can go, of course, everyone has their own ideas of what those mean.
I love that there was a plan for everything, you know, which I really do believe it's true, even though I wasn't taught that way. I was brought up in a very sort of modern, you know, Western society where you rather go to the doctor. you know, there's maybe not so much plans in there anymore, whatever you take. No, I think there's a huge disconnect, actually, you know, and I love what you said, there's a plan for everything. And when it comes to, I've heard that we only know 2% of the herbs and medical plants of the Amazonas. Yes. So basically we're destroying an ecosystem which can, for healing, like we know 2%, that is huge. We base, you know, 98%, we don't even know what we're destroying, which can heal us. And I've heard wonderful medical stories about people who dropped out of our Western medical system to experience a healing journey, which for our Western ears is unbelievable, you know, is basically not heard of. So, I mean, I believe in herbs. So this is where my interest is.
I've benefited much from the Western medical world, and also I feel pretty naive about the plant world and the medicines that are available. Do you encourage patients to see both of those worlds and take the best out of both of them, or is it more feel like a competition, like the Western medicine is the enemy? And how do you think about that dialectic between kind of indigenous knowledge and wisdom and modern medicine? How do you see that?
That's a really good question. You know, when I graduated from high school, I was 16. And my father, because of my good grades, but I went to a British school. So sent to the US, and my father had already enrolled me in pharmacy school. So actually I studied pharmacy for a while. And when I arrived to a place in my life, I was a pharmacy technician for a very long time. I was working with compounding medicines. The pharmacist that I was working with noticed that I wasn't too happy with the chemical part. And I kept talking about the spirituality of medicine. His wife from Israel was very interested, and she was very different from him. She had herbs and she'd take tinctures and other forms of herbal medicine. And so I decided at that point that I was gonna study herbal medicine. So however, my practice in herbal medicine has been really fruitful because I learned so many concepts in pharmacy school that have helped to inform and to direct my herbal practice, especially in medicine making. So in that place, I can say the indigenous wisdom unites with the modern medicine in converges very well there. When it comes to diagnosis and assessments, I have to lean to indigenous wisdom. And I'm talking on more chronic everyday issues. There is definitely room for both of them to integrate because we do know that there's accuracy in machines and accuracy with specific like blood tests, which I do use, and I do read lab reports. But there is also something more than a blood report for a client, and that's the spiritual, emotional, psychosomatic piece that herbal medicine in my practice as a clinician offers and inspires with healing. And so, you know, you mentioned that there are many people who have entered into indigenous circles and received a lot of profound healing that they couldn't have found in a tablet in a pharmaceutical way. And this is true. It's the same thing with herbs. You take a herb and you feel there are no words to describe the magic of what you feel, because it feels so perfect and so indigenous and so old and so primordial that you just feel good. You know, your body responds to that plant medicine. Of course, this is a clinician or a herbalist who knows what they're doing and matching that herb with individuals correctly. So to your question, I believe that herbal medicine and modern medicine have, or indigenous wisdom and how we've come to be in the modern world, have a room for integration. The issue is, do both sides want to integrate? It's oftentimes everybody thinks that they're right, and you know, ego takes control of this area, and then we can't move forward with growing as people in this century.
Would you say part of that divide has to do with the underlying motives, like whether how much profit or industrial kind of motives, or would you think it's more philosophical difference?
It's based on a lot. There is economic for sure. There's the capitalistic system that has been in place for so long. One of the assignments my students have to do is to see the history of medicine. So we go through a timeline, BC, you know, come down into the late 1800s and early 1900s. That's actually where we start to see the change in the receptivity of herbal medicine, naturopathy, holistic health, at least here in the US, or in the Americas. So I think that the incentive of the American Medical Association being created by Abraham Flexner, who actually wrote the first report on this, the shift on medicine. Of course, this was not just him. He was funded by Rockefellers and Carnegie. This, to me, is an investment from a capitalistic place. It's not really in the interest of the people. And that's what herbalism and indigenous wisdom offers the people, medicine for the people. They started to exclude women. They excluded people of color. They excluded class systems. People of lower class were not allowed to enter into medical school. So it's those factors that continue to remain as the founding factors of the medical, so-called modern medical system that we have in place today. And those are the things that indigenous wisdom can dismantle and also can create healing to a better healing system for the future.
So when you're speaking with a patient or students regarding diseases like diabetes, right? Is there a plan that you follow that's kind of standardized, or like you would see it in modern medicine, or is it more individualized so that each patient with maybe the same diagnosis, but maybe a different psychology? I'm actually very interested in the psychological aspect of how herbs affect. Like so many people are just like, okay, you have depression, go on Prozac, right? And you continuously bring in this idea that herbs can address these more psychological, spiritual sides. How does that work?
Yeah, the thing about indigenous things is that the difference is the way we ask questions. So your question is a very modern question because it's coming from that very science, which is part of the culture, right? The science, like, how does it work? How, show me the lines from point A to point B. And in indigenous ways, we just say it works and just leave it like that. A lot of the ways that we can answer that question of how does it work is basically because it's been working for a very long time, compared to a lot of pharmaceuticals that had that have just come into our societies very recently. 20 years, 100 years, it's not a long time compared to how our ancestors, all our ancestors, have been using plant medicine. As a clinician, so the clinical herbalist part of my education, and I didn't mention that I did get my master's of science from Maryland University of Integrated Health. So I did go there to have more of a modern vocabulary and understanding so that I could bridge what I knew from growing up with the modern society, the modern world, because I felt like I was missing that. I work uniquely, so I don't make one formula fit all for everyone because we are all so different. And our way of assessing is also unique. So I'm sure you've heard of Ayurveda, and Ayurveda, they use the dosha systems. And within the dosha system, which is the constitutions, each constitution has specific elements to it. So let's say Vata has air and ether, and Pitta, fire and water, and Kapha, water and earth. So those elements are combinations within all of us. So for instance, my dosha is Pitta, predominantly, because we have all the elements, but the prominent dosha I have is Pitta. And so if I have too much fire going on inside of me, that's steamy vapor, you know, that leads to a specific condition, then I need to find herbs that will help to create harmony, not stop, because I don't want to stop what I'm born as a Pitta. That fire helps me to be a good teacher, a leader, have energy to do the things I do. So I'm not stopping the fire, but I want to bring some harmony, because that too much fire, excess of it, may be creating headaches, creating high blood pressure, etc. So this is how we assess and how we work with the herbs.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see how Ayurveda, like the term Ayurveda, I think a couple of years ago, you know, when you said Ayurveda, a lot of people would not even know what it is. I think it's becoming more and more sort of like an alternative kind of way to treat your headache or find balance, more balance in your life. And I think I love to see that we in the West, I'd say, take on these alternative paths more and more, accepted as equally. Maybe an equal reality that it actually works. And because it does, you know, once you have the experience or you know someone who had an experience, then you want to try it too. We all want to go healthy. Yeah, we all want to be healthy. I think this is our birthright in a way, you know, to be abundant and healthy. I was wondering, when you said you had a herb shop, right? And now you're doing your business in the school in Puerto Rico. I'm not sure if you should, let me explore that thought, okay? Because I've heard, like, for example, in China, and like herbalists in China are paid until you get sick, yeah? And then when you get sick, because it's basically their job is to keep you healthy. And once you turn sick, they take care of you. What's your concept about this? Could you, or are you integrating this kind of, you know, because I think this is, I find it really weird. Like, I have to pay when I go to a doctor when I'm sick, but actually this is exactly the time when I need rest, right? And where maybe I can't go to my work and I'm running out of money or whatever. So once I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, maybe we can change this kind of economic system of how do I get this healing I need? How do I get the break I need? How do I actually need the time to then also experience, I guess, all these different dimensions you were talking about. It's not just taking the actual physical herb, yeah, or medicine. Are you trying? How do you do it in Puerto Rico? Have you touched about this, or how does it work for you? Don't know if this is a clear question, to be honest. But
no, it is. It's very clear. I too coming from Africa particularly, and having grown up in a lot of my life in indigenous setting, you know, I believe in trades. We have also other system, banking systems that are created that are indigenous to our communities. Here, I generally, you know, I offer sliding scales, and I don't pressure anybody. I don't turn anyone away. If they don't have money, it's okay. But some people just don't want to receive service without pay. So, you know, I also have to honor that and allow them to give, because if that liberates them so they can receive. One way that I've come to resolve within myself, the economical piece, is to offer free clinics. So that means my doors are open. Whoever wants to come Thursdays, you know, whichever day, there's a free clinic. You're welcome to come in, receive healing. If you want to make a donation, no problem. If you don't, walk out with your medicine, and that's it. Because the plants are giving us their medicine. They're not charging me, really, you know. And if I am making medicine, because, you know, you need certain materials to make tinctures, for instance. Those are more expensive. But, you know, collecting herbs, drying them, making a tea out of that, I'm not losing anything. In fact, I feel so much joy to be able to give people. And then to just make a comment, you know, as those of us who are closer, because I know, especially in the West, people have come so far away from their indigenous roots. And so now that modern way of system of living and thinking has taken over, let's say Europe, for instance, and of course spread around the world, and it has done a lot of damage to us, you know, I mean, to people who are still living in indigenous and still living in indigenous ways. We can go all the way from the colonialism, right, all the way down to the economic part, as in drilling and pollution, etc. And it's affecting indigenous people who have no idea what that means and what's going on. They just see the imbalance in the environment, and reading the water levels and reading the animal travels and saying something's off. And I'm an advocate for, you know, again, the integrative piece. I think that's one of my goals in life, is to integrate the two worlds. But also just to mention that it's so important to hear you say, you know, how you're willing to learn and understand and bring these indigenous ways or understandings into your life. We are waiting for that. Indigenous people are waiting for that, for people like you to see our way as well, to see it as a way of solution, to live a better future for all of us. We're all on the same planet together, and everything affects all of us. So we have to help each other, and we both, all of us, modern or indigenous, have to work together to come to a better solution, not argue and separate. So, and not think one is better than the other, which has not been working for all these years. So it's important for me to hear that, and I thank you for saying that.
You have more to say? Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think there's huge global issues here that really, like, they boil down into, are you going to get sick or not? And for example, the Amazon and, you know, all these indigenous plant ecosystems. You know, we're currently in the deserts of Arizona, and you might think there's no plants here, but there are very rich plants that are quite healing if you know how to apply them. And, you know, outside of donating to protect the Amazon, what can people do to really bring that balance back, you know, not necessarily by cutting off the modern medicine, but, you know, how can people in their daily lives, you know, better integrate and better protect what's precious in terms of both the knowledge and the nature?
One of my teachings from my elders are that our land is our body. So when you say this, I'm thinking, you know, One of the things that has to be dismantled, I think, because it hasn't been working, is even if we just donate to the Amazon organization, we don't know exactly what's happening with the money and, you know, if it gets there and does anything. Maybe some gets and does something, but what's happening to the rest? Is that maximizing the funds, the energy that's going in to actually maximize the protection of the Amazon? So that's can be a little questionable for me. But what we can do for sure, and we know for sure will work, is if you and I individually in our spaces, in our houses, in our apartments, in our circle space, are, you know, making sure we're not polluting, we're taking care of ourselves. Are you eating really healthy? Do you have acts of kindness to others? Just there's so many things that you could do to avoid stress and to avoid illness and even spreading it to others. That's why I mentioned acts of kindness, for instance. Or in your own circle, can you create a garden? Can you eat from that? Can that reduce the imports from Mexico and other places, which, you know, includes pollution and oil drilling and all these things? Can you support the grandma down the street who sells tomatoes? So what can you do in your small community? Because that ends up spreading out. That has an effect, a domino effect. So I think that's what we could do. We're more healthy when we can live within our circle in a healthy manner and kindness to each other, and also eat well from what we grow or from people who know how to grow better than us, you know, and eat local as much as possible and not be so spoiled in a way that I like avocados all year round, but avocados don't grow all year round. So the less that you eat the avocados when they're not in season, or don't eat avocados if they don't grow in your area, unless they're gifted to you. I mean, there are many things we could think about and start to cut off or shift in our thinking that will help us. We'll be more healthy if we ate local foods and took our local herbs.
Yeah, and consider the seasons, right? I think what you just mentioned is, like, basically consider where else the stuff comes from. Like, where is the milk coming from I drink, if you still drink milk? To add, yeah. Great. I mean, we could talk forever.
I have one more question, though.
Me too.
You have a question too?
No, go ahead.
it's related to the pandemic. And, you know, we're in a unique time where the entire globe has experienced this sweeping pandemic. And, of course, it's brought a lot of controversy and a lot of angst and depression and all kinds of things. And the conversation about how natural remedies or herbal expertise has been buried, and that this just not been part of that conversation. Do you feel there's anything, one, that could herbalists could bring to that this pandemic specifically, and two, to the idea of our collective health, not just our health as individuals, but how do we deal with all of this collectively in a way that's more healthy than it has been?
Wow, that's a big question. The collective piece particularly. So I'll start with the, you know, just how we can deal with this from a herbalist perspective, COVID pandemic, depression, loneliness, all the things that people are going through right now. Even having COVID symptoms as well. So I think that, you know, educating people I'm noticing more online education. So that's helping a lot. And I think people should continue carry on educating themselves about self-care. I actually see the pandemic in a sort of different way. And that's actually the gift of Indigenous wisdom or Indigenous lifestyle, is that you don't see things in a straight line. You see things from an abstract way. What I'm seeing from this, and of course, this is not the straight line, it's not the only way, but it is a way. I see that the pandemic is an opportunity for us to stop and to care for ourselves. And I think that people who are having difficult times haven't been influenced, don't have the tools or are unable to self-care because of whatever reason, intergenerational traumas or, you know, economic struggles, mental health issues, whatever situations that they're in. So those of us who are privileged are able to see that this is a moment of self-care. Let's enter there. But those who are not is, I think, who you're speaking to. So the system hasn't offered that. The medical public health system has not offered anything for people like that. And to be honest, I'm not sure how, unless herbalists like myself enter into the public sector, which already there's not respect really for herbalists in that sector. So we come back to another former question, which is, you know, how we need to integrate, you know, the two worlds need to come together. And as far as collective consciousness or collective healing, that's a really big question. I think collective healing comes from individual healing. You know, one chain or one bead on a chain is it makes a chain, you know, and the chain is each and everybody. Everybody is the bead, and we don't have it without a bead. It's the same concept as a drop of water. Without it, we don't have the ocean. So the collective concept of healing and of coming together comes from our individual healing, which in a way is also what the pandemic is asking us to do, is to look at ourselves and to see what things need to be healed within ourselves.
Is there, I got really, like when in your introduction you mentioned indigenous self, that basically we, all of us, whether, you know, man, woman, whatever color, there is an indigenous self. Can you speak about this a little bit more?
Well, you know, our indigenous self is our, we all have ancestors. We're all here because someone else, not someone else, right? We're all children of somebody, right? And we know that the modern lifestyle has been with us not as long as the not modern lifestyle, which is whether people are living in caves or people living in the plains, you know, in the savanna tropics. There's been people who lived off of the earth. And so all of us have those roots where your ancestors lived from the earth. And if your ancestors lived from the earth, they knew how to read the earth. They knew how to read the animals, the stars, the water flowing, whether it's snow waters or river waters, they knew how to read those signs. And to me, that is wisdom. That is indigenous wisdom. So that's the indigenous within us that we can call to ourselves. It's maybe a little easier for me because I grew up in that, or it's a closer connection because we were colonized, but, you know, that hasn't been disrupted as far back as, let's say, Europe, where, you know, the industrial world, industrial lifestyle came in so long ago, buildings, you know, et cetera. So that disconnect, or the concept of the reductionist scientific view of life, that is, nature is separate and we are separate and we're supposed to have dominion over nature. That concept has been embedded in the education system in Europe or the Western culture for so long. And that's created a lot of disruption. But there has been a connection with nature, even in Europe and European ancestors.
I love that. That's a brilliant response. The idea that modern living is a disruption. I mean, a disruption of the natural flow. And I think that's true. We do, even in politics, we see those, you know, the division is largely between those who believe we are dominant and separate from nature and those who believe that we're one with nature, that we are nature.
Is there anything you would like to add, or like a last word, or anything you would really like to bring out to our audience in the podcast?
Well, I've been receiving a lot of teachings recently, you know, and again, this is from the indigenous talk, which is means that, and not necessarily somebody's teaching me, but there's some experiences I've been having that have led me to pay attention to making sure that honor and respect, honesty and truth are always in the forefront. And I think that once we start to apply those four, truth, honor, respect, and honesty, that's starting with ourselves, then we will be happier. These systems that don't work for us or that are unfair, don't work for all people, will start to shift. We'll start to have channel in new systems that do work for all of us. But we have to honor each other, respect each other. And each other is not just humans. This is animals, plants, the whole mother that we're living in. And be honest, truth. So honor, respect, truth, and honesty.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so Ola Tukumbo called me out for being kind of Western, right? And I wonder if there's
And you don't
ways...
think that's true?
yeah.
Well, my cleanse, you know. I'm currently making a spring juice cleanse, and Mel doesn't really believe in it. But, and asked me, how does it work? What are you doing? And I was like, well,
I'm cleansing.
I don't really know how it works, but it just feels good. So,
yeah. But, I mean, Ola Tukumbo is talking about... You know, she called me out on the Western medicine because I'm always looking for a prescriptive solution, like something that's provable through science, right? And I think what she's saying is there's a wholeness to all of this. And what you're saying, too, is like, you know, there are special combinations that aren't necessarily directly directed by science. It's more holistic, more connection to Earth, more connection to each other.
You know, in the end of the day, I don't really care where the healing comes from. That's my personal opinion, okay? Where whatever works, whatever heals you, it's fine. If you truly believe in modern medicine and refuse everything else, I think that's stupid, and the other way around.
Yeah, just be open to the solutions.
Absolutely. What we shouldn't do and what I absolutely refuse is that... we take modern medicine or big pharma and kind of create excuses not to explore, for example, the Amazon, destroy, create monopolies, create fear within societies to do this and that. That I don't agree on. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it is really within ourselves to find healing, and we kind of know where to go, and we should be open to accept both ways. We are an independent, listener-supported podcast.
For the price of one latte per month, you can help fuel our work and keep our content untainted by commercial interests.
For more exclusive content, join us on patreon.com or click donate on potofgold.world.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul. I'm Mel Wymore.
And I'm Stephanie Overbeck.
Thanks for listening.